Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're doing a deep dive into someone who, well, truly aimed to put a dent in the universe. Steve Jobs. His name just screams innovation, revolution, and let's be honest, a kind of mythic intensity.
Absolutely. The co-founder of Apple.
Exactly. A visionary who basically shaped modern life with products we almost take for granted now.
It's true.
And today we're digging into Walter Isaacson's biography, Steve Jobs. It's really seen as the definitive authorized account.
And the access Isaacson had was just incredible, wasn't it?
I really was. Jobs picked him personally and gave him over 40 interviews, even when he was very ill. And Isaacson talked to, what, over 100 others? Family, friends.
Necessary colleagues. Everyone.
And here's the real kicker, the detail that, for me, just lifts this book. Jobs waived his right to review it. He actually wanted the unvarnished truth out there.
Warts and all, as I say.
Yeah.
It takes serious guts. And it gives us this unprecedented look at a really complex, fascinating figure.
It really does.
And the book's core idea is so compelling. It's not just about the gadgets. It argues that Jobs' personality, intense, complex, often contradictory, wasn't just incidental. It was the engine behind his genius.
Right, the driving force.
Exactly. So the big question Isaacson tackles, and what we'll explore, is what kind of person, with what specific mix of, you know, passions, demons, philosophies, how could one person change so many industries? Personal computers, animation, music, phones, publishing.
It's staggering when you list it out.
It is. So for you listening, this dive offers a kind of shortcut to understanding innovation, leadership, design, maybe even the nature of genius itself. It's packed with those aha moments about someone who really redefined technology.
That's exactly why we're here, to try and understand that guy. So let's start right at the beginning. His early years are, well, incredibly telling.
They really set the stage.
Born to unmarried grad students, then adopted by Paul and Claire Jobs. That experience being abandoned, but also chosen, Isaacson suggests it left a huge mark.
A sense of being special, maybe?
Yeah, special, but also this powerful, almost desperate need for control. Do you think that paradox, that tension, fueled his drive, like a way to avoid feeling vulnerable again?
I think that's a really strong thread in the book. Isaacson definitely makes that case. This unique tension, wanting to be special, needing to shape his environment completely.
And you see it everywhere, right? Not just personally, but in the products.
Absolutely. And growing up right there in what became Silicon Valley, learning craftsmanship from his father, who taught him even the hidden parts matter.
Yeah.
It fostered this early interest in electronics and, yeah, perfectionism.
And then there's the other side, the rebellious streak, the counterculture stuff. That seems just as important.
Oh, totally. The experimentation with psychedelics, the deep dive into Eastern mysticism, Zen Buddhism.
Yeah.
These weren't just phases.
Yeah.
Think about his time at Reed College. Brief, but pivotal. Auditing that calligraphy course. He specifically cited that later.
For the Max typography.
Exactly. And Apple's whole focus on design, on beauty, and his trip to India searching for enlightenment, that really cemented his philosophy of simplicity, intuition, stripping things down.
So you've got this blend, meticulous craftsmanship meets counterculture searching, which leads us sort of inevitably to the rise of Apple.
And that partnership with Steve Wozniak was
crucial. Was the pure engineering genius just loving the tech itself, and Jobs the visionary seeing how it could change the world.
Two Steves in a garage.
Yeah.
Almost cliche now, but that homebrew computer club era, building the Apple I, that's where it started.
With Mike Markula's backing, they founded Apple Computer, and the Apple II was a huge hit, right? Put them on the map.
Instantly made Apple a major player, basically overnight. But then came the project that really had Jobs' stamp all over it. The Macintosh.
Ah, the Mac. That felt like his baby, didn't it? He drove those teams incredibly hard.
Relentlessly. Demanding perfection. Pushing for that graphical user interface inspired by Xerox PARCIC.
Yeah. All right, where they saw some of those early ideas.
Yeah, and the mouse. The elegant design. Making it user-friendly.
That whole Pirates Not the Navy mentality on the Mac team.
Exactly. But that same intensity, that uncompromising nature.
Yeah.
That also created friction, big time.
Especially with John Sculley, the CEO he recruited from Pepsi.
Yeah, he thought Sculley had the marketing chops. But their personalities, their management styles, they just clash massively. It built up to that boardroom showdown in 85.
And the board sided with Sculley?
They did. Stripped Jobs of his duties. He resigned. Essentially, he was kicked out of his own company. a huge betrayal for him.
Hard to even fathom that. Which leads into his so-called wilderness years. He started Next T, which is Isaacson calls a perfect failure. I like that term.
It's apt, isn't it? Commercially, Next T didn't really fly, but it wasn't wasted time at all. Not a bit. He seriously honed his skills there. Hardware, software integration. He basically built the foundation for what would become Apple's OS X later on. It was a crucial, if expensive, learning lab.
And then there was Pixar.
Right. Bought a small graphics division from Lucasfilm. Initially, he kind of missed the point, thought it was about selling high-end computers.
But it shifted, didn't it, towards animation?
Completely. Thanks to the creative vision of John Lasseter and Ed Catmull, they focused on storytelling. It struggled financially for a while. Jobs was even resistant at first. But then came Toy Story in 1995.
Huge, massive hit.
Blockbuster. Made Jobs a billionaire again. But maybe more importantly, it taught him so much about entertainment, storytelling, managing creative talent.
Lessons he'd use later.
Absolutely. Directly applied to things like the iTunes Store, that whole content ecosystem Apple built.
Which brings us to maybe the greatest comeback story in business history. His return to Apple in 97. The company was dying.
On the verge of bankruptcy. Bloated. Lost. Apple bought Next T mainly for the operating system, bringing Jobs back as just an advisor.
Just an advisor? For about 5 minutes?
Pretty much. He moved fast, consolidated power, ousted the board, became interim CEO. And his first big moves, simplify everything, slash the product line.
And that Think Different campaign.
Iconic. It wasn't just an ad slogan. It was a declaration, a reset. And crucially, this is when his partnership with Joni Ive really solidified, his spiritual partner in design.
And together, they shaped the look of technology for, what, the next 2 decades?
Pretty much. Which led to that incredible run of products. The iMac, colorful, fun, totally different.
Changed how computers looked.
Then the iPod and iTunes. Not just a device, a whole ecosystem that revolutionized music.
Totally.
The iPhone, multi-touch. Changed everything about phones and mobile computing. And the iPad created a whole new category. These weren't just products. They were cultural shifts.
They really did put that dent in the universe he talked about.
Absolutely. But Isaacson's book doesn't shy away from the cost either. Briefly covers the cancer diagnosis in 2003. That controversial choice to delay surgery.
Right. Trying alternative therapies first.
Yeah. And how he kept working, relentlessly, right up until his death in 2011. Even through illness, that drive never seemed to fade. Left behind this incredible, complex legacy.
So, moving past the timeline, let's unpack his core philosophy. That idea about the intersection of arts and technology, that was fundamental for him, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely central. Not just a soundbite. He truly believed great tech needed the beauty, the intuition, the simplicity of the liberal arts.
Like the calligraphy class informing the Mac fonts.
Exactly. And his Zen background, influencing the minimalist design. For Jobs, aesthetics weren't just surface level. They were about the core function, the user's emotional connection.
Tied right into that was his perfectionism, almost obsessive attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. He wanted excellence in every single part, seen or unseen.
Like demanding perfect circuit boards inside the machine.
That's the famous story. No user would see it, but for Jobs, it was about craftsmanship, integrity, something he learned from his dad. But you wonder, right, that perfectionism, was it sometimes counterproductive? Did it burn people out?
It's a fair question. The human cost. Still, that drive also led to his mantra. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
Yes. Conquering complexity to make things feel effortless. The iPod's click wheel. The iPhone's interface. Making incredibly complex tech feel simple, intuitive.
Which brings us to the reality distortion field. That famous phrase.
Yes. Isaacson paints it as this unique mix of charisma, confidence, sheer willpower. It could inspire engineers to do the impossible, push beyond their limits.
But it had a dark side too, didn't it? Manipulation, maybe self-deception?
That's the other edge of the sword.
Yeah.
It was a tool, and like any tool, it could be misused. It definitely alienated people too.
And alongside that was his insistence on end-to-end control. Hardware, software, peripherals, apps, the retail stores.
Total integration. Unlike almost everyone else, he felt it was the only way to guarantee that seamless, simple, perfect experience he demanded.
Which fed into his ability to focus, to say no.
Ruthlessly. Slashing Apple's product line down to just 4 core things when he returned. That took guts. He believed deciding what not to do was just as vital as deciding what to do. Allowed incredible focus.
Making a few things insanely great, as he'd say. But then there's that other side again, the binary worldview. Heroes and bozos.
Yeah, seeing everything is either insanely great or total crap. Very polarizing.
Harsh? How did that play out in the culture at Apple?
Well, it certainly fostered a culture of A players, pushing for excellence. But yeah, it was often seen as cruel, dismissive. Left a lot of people feeling bruised.
Yet he also understood marketing as performance art.
Masterfully. Selling wasn't just about specs. It was selling a story, a dream. The 1984 ad, Think Different, those legendary Steve notes.
Savior cultural events.
Exactly. Selling a vision of who you could become using Apple's tools. He was a showman.
Undeniably. Okay, let's zero in on three pivotal turning points, moments that really changed his trajectory and Apple's. First, the Mac launch and getting ousted, 84, 85. He poured everything into the Mac.
His soul, practically. Leading that Pirates team against IBM's Navy, unveiled this revolutionary machine. But then, reality hit. High price, slow sales initially.
And the clashes with Scully boiled over.
Right. The board sided with Scully, stripped Jobs of power. He resigned. It was transformative because it was this profound betrayal, this exile. It forced him out, made him reflect, learn, maybe mature a bit outside Apple. Showed him the brutal side of corporate power and the cost of his own style.
Okay, turning point two. Pixar. The acquisition and then the massive success of Toy Story, 86 to 95. This was during those wilderness years.
Correct. Buys the graphics division from Lucasfilm. Initially thinks hardware. But Lasseter and Catmull steered towards storytelling. Toy Story hits big in 95.
He made him a billionaire again.
Yes, but the transformation was deeper. It changed how he saw entertainment, narrative, managing creative people, patience, collaboration, things he wasn't necessarily known for before. Lessons he brought back to Apple, especially for iTunes and the content side.
And the third turning point, the big return to Apple, 96, 97, when Apple was really circling the drain.
Absolutely. Near bankruptcy. Directionless. Yeah. Apple buys NextT. Jobs comes back as an advisor.
Right. Advisor?
He moves fast, takes control, becomes interim CEO, slashes products, launches, Think Different. This was his redemption moment. Applying everything he learned outside, he rebuilt Apple culturally and financially, kicked off that second golden age.
Looking back at it all, what are the big human lessons we can take away from Isaacson's portrait? That paradox of genius really stands out, inspiring and cruel, visionary and petty.
It really makes you grapple with that question. Hmm? Are the flaws necessary for the genius? Are they inseparable? The book suggests maybe the intensity that made him difficult also made him capable of achieving the impossible.
And the power of diverse interests seems key too. Calligraphy, Zen, counterculture, things that didn't seem connected at the time.
But later connected the dots, as he famously said. Influenced Apple's whole philosophy. It really speaks to the value of just following your curiosity, doesn't it? Without needing an immediate payoff.
Definitely. And NextT really underscores learning from failure. It wasn't just a loss, it was a crucial lab.
Exactly. Even setbacks can be where you hone the skills for future success.
But there's also the personal cost of perfection. His intensity clearly strained relationships, like with his daughter Lisa.
Mm-hmm. It's a sobering reminder about balance, isn't it? Professional ambition versus personal growth, emotional intelligence, even immense success has its price.
Yet, you also have to admire the relentless pursuit of his vision, that unwavering conviction, even when everyone doubted him, that drive to make that dent.
There's definitely a lesson there about perseverance, about believing in your ideas, though perhaps tempered with, you know, listening occasionally.
And finally, the importance of why. His focus wasn't just on the tech, but on the user experience, the reason behind the product. Solving digital music chaos with the iPod, for instance.
Yeah, focusing on human needs, human desires. That's a powerful lesson for anyone trying to solve a problem or create something meaningful.
So, after this deep dive, let's try to boil it down. Three final takeaways from the life and work of Steve Jobs. First, an emotional insight.
I'd say transformative innovation often springs from a really deep, almost fanatical passion for the product and for the user. It's driven by this intense desire to leave a mark, to make something great, not just chase profit.
Okay. An intellectual insight.
That breakthrough innovation isn't always about inventing brand new tech from scratch. Often it's about brilliantly synthesizing existing ideas, integrating them into something revolutionary, seamless, and deeply intuitive for people.
And finally, a universal insight we can all maybe apply.
To really make an impact, you have to embrace continuous learning and not be afraid to take risks. You need to stay, as he put it, hungry for knowledge and foolish enough to challenge how things are done, even when it's uncomfortable.
Stay hungry, stay foolish, a fitting end. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.